It's Tuesday, October 4th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Welcome to the show, everyone. We got a great one for you. Aloha.
This is the Geek News Central podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume, because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central podcast.
Aloha, everyone, and welcome to the show. I am Todd Cochran, your host, and you are tuned in to the Geek News Central podcast. And as always, for all of you that have been subscribed for a long time and listening to this show week in and week out, thanks for being here, and thanks for being part of our family and staying subscribed. And for all of you that are new and checking out the show for the first time, or maybe you've been here for a couple of shows, we appreciate you staying with us, and we hope that you stay subscribed for the long term. You can check out all the great content over at geeknewscentral.com. Of course, check out all the older podcasts via the podcast link, and make sure you subscribe to the mailing list, which you can find a link via the main site also. Well, hello, everyone, and I hope everyone has had a wonderful weekend, had a good day back to work, and I know that I had a terrific weekend. I'm getting ready for a final exam. I've got to take one on Thursday, and of course, I am wholeheartedly looking forward to taking that test. You know, college is so much fun, going back and renewing one's education. I'd be honest with you, I hate it. I really do, but you got to do what you got to do and make sure that you stay current. For those of you that have been listening to the show for a while, I just want to remind you this is a new month, and it's my one time that I do ask that you support the show by going over to podcastalley.com and visiting or voting for the show. And of course, check out all the other great content that is over there from different podcasters. But we do appreciate your vote. If 1/5 of all the listeners that are listening to this show went over and voted, we would definitely be a top number one show over there. But I know that all of you won't, Dan, but I do appreciate those of you that you do. Anyway, thanks for your vote and your support over at Podcast Alley. That's my one pitch for the month. Thanks for your support. It is definitely appreciated. Okay, I do want to apologize for everyone. I am running way behind, and I know some of you are waiting on your show 100 prizes. I promise I'm going to get to that this week and get those out. It's a week overdue, obviously, and I need to get those the prizes mailed out and sorted through. So I do apologize that if I just have had, things have been just too crazy, and I need to make it a priority, and it is, and it's in a tasker to do, hopefully tomorrow. Otherwise, I hope everyone is well. I know I can't complain here. Things are good. Family's good. The wife is keeping me busy, and I've got a garage that needs to be cleaned. So that's on my honey-do list this weekend to take care of. So she's going to have me busy down there. But I have been staying pretty busy on the podcast front as well. And I've got some initiatives that are going on over at Podcast Connect, where we're allowing podcasters that are looking for a little extra help, looking to take their shows to the next level, find sponsors, etc. We've got a process over there. So, you know, basically, if you are looking to take your show to the next level and you are a podcaster, visit podcastconnect.com. You'll see a podcaster link on the right-hand margin, and make sure you check out the info there. And if you want more info, you can send an email, and we will send you a questionnaire form that you fill out. And then it kind of goes into detail of what we're looking for and what we're going to be doing. Those of you that have been reading my weblog may have seen a link to a site called Raw Voice. And if you haven't, go ahead and go over to rawvoice.com and check out the site there. And there's going to be some information coming in the near future. But the slogan for the site is Fresh Organic Media, rawvoice.com. So check that out and keep an eye on that site. There's going to be some exciting announcements over there. And you guys will kind of get a hint on what it is tied to if you look at the site very closely. I'm not going to say much more than that right now. But if you're a journalist, if you're a blogger, If you're a content creator, you should consider sending an email to press, P-R-E-S-S, of course, press at rawvoice.com. I'm being told that you should include in that email some information about the site that you blog for or who you're a journalist with, and they'll be in contact to give you a sneak preview of something that's forthcoming. Okay, kind of whet your appetite a little bit with some mysterious information. Hey, all of you that are downloading the show via torrent, I really need to hear from you. If you're downloading the show via our torrent feed, let me know how the reliability has been, how well the, if you've gotten the complete file, if things are timing out. I am concerned about some things that are going on with that feed. I'm concerned that you're all not getting the complete download. I've had some problems with my blogtorrent.com application that we're running. So we may be making some changes there because they have a newer release product out that is under a different name that we may swap to. But again, those of you that are downloading the torrent feed, let me know what kind of experience you've had and if you've had slowdowns or if you've quit using it completely. Also, for those of you that are downloading, and I know there's about 600 of you that are between you, they're downloading the WMA and the OGG extension feed. Now, just to give you a little info, that those feeds take me, well, I create the MP3, re-encode to WMA, re-encode to OGG. By the time I'm done uploading, I normally, you know, obviously I have to upload 75 to 100 megs worth of information. It extends my production time considerably. So for those of you that are on pulling those feeds, I want you to send me an email on why. You know, is there a specific reason why you can't, why? Because what I'm thinking about doing, and I haven't decided yet, is I would like to kind of wean everybody off the WMA and OGG feeds. I know some of you are using those OGG feeds for a purpose, especially the Linux users. But, you know, give me a reason to keep doing them because it does add a considerable amount of time. And by the time I start podcasting late, I'm normally recording here around 9 to 10 o'clock is when I get started. By the time I start uploading, it's 11. Publish on the site is 12:30 or so. So just give me a little feedback, and I'll make a decision in a couple of months on whether or not I'm going to continue those or not. It's just a matter of time. It really, really is. And your time is valuable. My time is valuable. And I want to make sure that, you know, if I can shorten my processing time up at night by 20 minutes, you know, that makes a big difference in the long run. Okay, additionally, those of you that are in the San Francisco area, obviously we are creating a shortened podcast over there. It's a 15-minute Geek News Central. It's kind of a condensed version, and I use the same show content. I just cut it up and make it much shorter. Obviously, we miss a lot of content that is sent to KYOU. But if you're listening on KYOU Radio and you like this show, I really want to try to get a 30-minute block over there. So send an email to KYOU Radio and let them know, hey, I like what this show is. I want to hear 30 minutes of it. I don't want to hear 15, or better yet, I want to hear 45, and then we could get the whole show in. That would really help me out. And if you've listened to the show over at KYOU, let me know. And I'll put a link up to it in the show notes tonight. I don't know when they're actually playing it. I haven't watched the lineup recently. But we're glad to produce that for them. And it's just, you know, another distribution method for us. Okay, folks, time is running out. GoDaddy.com is offering $1.99 domain names, transfers, or renewals with each and every new non-domain product you buy. But only until October 10th. Each domain name includes complete email, a $9.95 value, free. Plus, my listeners get an additional 10% off any order, but the $1.99 domain sale expires on October 10th, so order now at GoDaddy.com. Just enter Geek3, that's G-E-E-K, and the number 3 as your source code to get an additional 10% off on any order, and that will continue after the promotion for the $1.99 domains expires on the 10th of October. Okay, I've got a great lineup of information for you tonight, but I do want to go and talk a little bit about some of the comments I got from the listeners. I all of you that sent in the 5 best feeds that you really love and like, I really do appreciate that. We're going to continue to accept those from the listeners for the next week or two. So I want all of you to submit your 5 best news feeds that you read with your RSS reader, the five best blogs, whatever the five best resources that you use to either publish your podcast or to the five podcasts you like to listen to, you know, whatever it is that you like, five favorites of the internet, send them to me at geeknews@gmail.com, and we'll get those all compiled and produce basically a listener's RSS feed for items that have been submitted from the show. Got some great email this week. One of them was from R. Brian. He thought he'd let me know about a new podcasting client called Zipod. It's at www.ziepod.com. Check that out. I think it's a pretty cool little application, and just goes to show you that everyone's being pretty innovative still. Okay, I got an email from Bob, and it's for all of you that are exercise fanatics out there. He's got a new site called jogtunes.com. It's a music service for joggers, runners, and other exercisers. Check that out. Looks like the concept's pretty cool. Put the link up in the listener show notes, of course. I do want to thank everyone that sent me all kinds of hacks and goodies to use on the Motorola E815. And I do appreciate all those links. It is greatly appreciated. Richard sent me some feedback on that $30 amplifier that I was talking about that you could get over via Amazon. And he talks about some speakers and stuff that he has used with that. So they're actually some flat fold speakers. So I'm going to go ahead and put his notes up in the actual link blog so you can check out what he has to say about that. I did get an email from Brian. Hey, Brian, thanks so very much for the feedback on the show. But Brian's got a question, and he's got a problem that he's having with iTunes, and he's hoping that some of you out there can help him out to find the answer. He said, I just recently tried to import some CDs into iTunes, only to find out that it would only take the first 10 to 20 seconds of each track. After a number of CDs, I went searching on the web and found quite a few posts from people with the same problem, but no solutions. The only thing that I can think different from the last time I imported songs is that I updated to the latest version of iTunes recently. And if anyone has any idea on what we can do to hook Brian up, and I'll put this question up in the link blog, so if anybody has a solution to this, let us know. You know, I haven't done any importing in iTunes recently either, Brian, and I tell you what I do notice, though, is there was a problem with the ID3 tag application within the, I guess within the last version of iTunes, that was causing some iRivers to seize. Now, if any of you are listening to this podcast on an iRiver and you have had a problem with the iRiver actually locking up when it's playing the show, let me know. We think we've resolved that with the latest version of iTunes and being editing the ID3 tag. So if you're still seeing that, drop me email, geeknews@gmail.com, and what we'll do is we'll go use a different alternative. Okay, on October 15th, there's going to be another live roundtable over at techpodcast.com, and we're going to have some great topics over there that we'll be publicizing later in the week. But as always, we're going to be using GoToMeeting as an application that I've actually just fell in love with, and I hope that you all get over and give that a free trial. Here's a little info on GoToMeeting. Hey, folks, you've got to check out GoToMeeting. Why? Because you can hold meetings right over the net from anywhere. Plus, you can hold all the meetings you want for one flat rate. Try it free for 30 days. No, you don't need a credit card to get started. Just visit gotomeeting.com/tech-roundtable. That's gotomeeting.com/tech-roundtable to get your free trial now. Okay, I got a lot of great information tonight, and we're at 13 minutes. I'm ahead of schedule. Everyone clap. Normally, I'm at 20 minutes, so I'm trying to keep this to 10 to 15 minutes in the beginning before we get into the content. Okay, podcaster, here comes Yahoo. From information that is floating around the net to include email that people are sending me, it looks like Yahoo is about to join this directory space. Now, I've found a link on a website, or actually on a Yahoo page, that actually allows you to search for podcasts. And I'll put that link up in the show notes. It was sent to me tonight by a reader, a listener of the Geek News Central website, and has been a wonderful source for great information. And I do want to thank him, and he knows who he is, for sending me all those great links. And tell you what, you guys find all kinds of cool stuff and send it to me. Okay, If you guys read my article on Fed Up About DRM, it doesn't seems to be I'm not the only one that is concerned about it. We're going to be talking a little bit about DRM later in the show and some of the impact that people are finding out, you know, with computers that die and hardware that gets stolen, et cetera, on some of the impact that DRM is causing people really to ultimately lose money. Now, if you're a blogger, there's a link on my website. It says Bloggers and Big Media Meet. I want you to go down there. It was in the October 3rd postings, and I want you to go and read that. It's a great article. It talks about how the media, traditional media and blogging, and I even consider podcasting are, in a sense, merging. And the nose is being wrinkled up. You know, they're still being wrinkled up on some bloggers. Maybe my site, I don't know. But it looks like that bloggers are getting a little more respect out there because big media has realized that, you know, times are changing and they have to change with it or, you know, they're dead meat. I think they're dead meat anyway. Okay, installed movable type version 3.2 over the weekend. And I did so hesitantly because I had heard some things. But the upgrade went good. I had some issues getting the comments squared away because they made a change to type key stuff. But anyway, the site's up in 3.2, working real well. The trackback and comment spam application that they have built into the plugins seems to be working fairly well, although the site just got absolutely slammed within the first 24 hours of me turning trackbacks on. And I just wonder what your experience is with it. And I did add the spam filter words, and that seemed to help quite a bit. So, pretty happy. I think that the assistant editors are pretty happy too. I got a couple of comments today say they liked how the interface has changed. It I guess it makes the publishing a little easier with it. Okay, I was gonna talk about a service that one of our listeners is using now for podcasters. Let me find the page here. It's at podcastdesigns.com. Check this out, okay? For those of you that are not graphics types, and I know that I'm not one of them, if you need some banners made or some logos or some of those little 300 by 300 icons that you can use for iTunes, go over to podcastdesigns.com. Check out. They got a great service over there. Really inexpensive. Some real nice professional logos. So check it out. Good friend of mine that's doing this. And I give him a free plug here for the service. Actually, it's actually his wife that is doing it, and the husband is actually a podcaster. So his site is applenewsnow.com. Let's open up the news aggregator here and dig into the bag of goodies for today. Over at SiliconValley.com, there's an article on here that says some web telephones can't reuse numbers. Okay, for those of you that are on voice IP and maybe not having as good of a experience as you wish to have had, and if you took your telephone number with you from your regular POTS landline, so you know you went off POTS to a wireless carrier, and now that you've become dissatisfied and said, I'm going to go back to POTS for a while, or I'm going to transfer to another service, whatever it may be, did you know that some of these wireless providers are not able to move your telephone number back to either POTS or a different wireless provider? They have invested in getting it from the POTS people, but taking it with you when you leave is not possible in some of these services. So some people are pretty upset in that they're not able to do that. You know, some people do their businesses via their telephone number, so changing is a major inconvenience. I know that was one of the things I was worried about with my cell phone. You know, I run 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 minutes a month through this thing, and business calls, personal calls, etc. And I just can't afford to have downtime with the mobile number. So when we transferred, I did it on a weekend and it went well, and the changeover went real quick. But imagine that you've done this on a wireless carrier. So be careful out there, okay? And before you buy into a voice IP product, you need to ask the service provider, hey, if I don't like your service, can I take my number with me? And if they say no, maybe you want to keep that, you know, that's kind of defeats the purpose of switching, but okay, we'll see. Now, they're working on getting this squared away, but it is a problem. A lot of people are complaining. Okay, those of you that are out there that are using the PSP and you're patching it with all of these cool patches that are out there, be very careful. There is a new patch out there that will terminate your PSP. Okay? There's a fake patch out there, and I've got a link up to this. It's over at PSPupdates.qi.net. I'll put the link up in the show notes, obviously, but this is bad juju, folks, and it's going to kill your PSP. Now, some rumors are going around that saying that Sony did it. I highly doubt it, but a good way to make your $265 investment basically a wall ornament. Over at MacMerc.com, for those of you who have Mac Minis like I do, you can now, they've got a little process over there in which you can make your Mac Mini a PVR. So they're calling it a mini PVR, and there's a how-to over here. And it's using a couple of products. It's using a Plexer ConvertX for Mac, which is about $200. And it's also got a couple of little other applications that you're going to need, but real easy in that you're going to be able to hook this up and make it a cool PVR. So maybe I've got a job for this mini here. So check that out. Of course, I've got a media center here on my laptop. Of course, I haven't used the media center portion of it yet. Now, how many of you have Nanos? How would you like to boost the memory of your Nano to 200 gigabytes? Well, here's the key to it. There's a hack out where you can hook your iPod Nano to a 200 gig hard drive. And the iPod Nano will power the hard drive, the whole nine yards. But the bad thing is, the battery life's only 6 minutes, okay? That's all the Nano's going to be able to support the 200 gig hard drive. You know, give it to geeks for doing cool stuff. So I found this over at Gizmodo. Pretty funny, a nice little way to expand the capability of your iPod Nano, all right? Over on Old Malk's broadband blog, he's got an article up here. It says, Yahoo does tech news. And we know that Yahoo has now decided to be more of a content provider. They're going to be, you know, they're not focusing so much on search. They're getting into, news. They're getting into all kinds of crazy stuff. But they're hiring people. And you know, one of the people they hired was Kevin Seitz. And that was, I hope they paid him a lot of money. But they're looking for tech editors. So any of you that are aspiring editors that maybe are looking for a job where you can, I hope they're letting people work at home. That would only make sense. But there are two listings for tech editors up. And if you want to check that out, obviously I'll have the link up in the show notes. Go over there and get yourself a job with Yahoo. And if you do, let me know. And of course, tell them you heard it here at Geek News Central, okay? All right, tomorrow, big announcement, Sun and Google. Okay, what in the world are they going to be doing? Tomorrow, they're going to have an announcement at, I guess, 9. Probably you guys will hear this. Maybe some of you hear this before you listen to the podcast. But the speculation is that they have done some collaboration, and they're going to make a calendar that is web-based, obviously, that is going to be tied to Star Office somehow. Now, I think it's going to go further than this. I'm thinking that this is, you know, Google has basically declared war on Microsoft and has Office 12 in its gun sights. So I think this is the impact to the ribs, or actually the third or fourth impact to the ribs by Google against Microsoft. So this is going to be an interesting dogfight. It's going to be cool to kind of watch it and sit on the sidelines. And, you know, I've always thought that having a, you know, calendar, task, you know, all kinds of, you know, these little tools that you use in Outlook, you know, I work on different PCs. So we'll see how this turns out, but maybe worthwhile. Anyway, we'll see what they have to say tomorrow. And we'll obviously have updates at the geeknewscentral.com website. A lot of people speculated why Steve Jobs did a deal with Motorola to produce that, from what I'm seeing so far, terrible reviews of that Motorola Rocker iTunes-enabled cell phone. Now, everything I've seen has been just, you know, everybody's dogged this thing, and the jury's still out whether or not it's going to be, you know, if it's going to do well or not. So, there was a very good write-up over at iPodGarage.com, that talked about maybe the strategy that Steve used on this. And of course, the strategy he may have used in lieu of the rocker phone from Motorola that he used against Singular. And if this turns out to be true, if this turns out to be the strategy that Steve Jobs used, I'm going to have to kind of say, yeah, the man did good. And that he played these guys, you know, played them well. So go over there and check out this write-up. Pretty good insight. It's a little hypothesis from the from one of the editors over there, and I think you'll get a kick out of it. Those of you that are listening to podcasts and are listening to this podcast are helping fuel the media revolution that's going on right now. And we all know that people are changing the way they get their information. You know, a lot of people are no longer reading newspapers. They're not reading periodicals. They are getting their news and information online via their favorite bloggers or RSS feeds off of regular news sites. So we all know that there's a lot of change going on, and it appears that some people are pretty getting sick and tired of having to pay for content that is more or less being found online. And, you know, obviously there's a few magazine periodicals that are published here in the United States that are extremely quality productions, and you just can't, you know, a lot of the content is original. You won't find anywhere else. And one of those is the Wall Street Journal. Now, I personally don't subscribe to the Wall Street Journal, but there are some people that have, and they're upset in that the Wall Street Journal has raised their online subscription price to $99 a year. And it was a $20 increase from last year. Now, imagine having to pay $20 more a year for your newspaper that you may have delivered to your house. Or let's say that I said to all of you, you got to pay $20 a year to have access to the Geek News Central website. Most of you would just unsubscribe and go away. Okay, I know you would, because there's a lot of content out there, a lot of people creating great information. So I'm not oblivious to that. So what do you do? What do you do if a company says next year we're going to raise the price more? Well, this gentleman who wrote this editorial, he's basically said no more. If it goes up again, I'm out of here. And he actually is in a reconsideration phase, in that in 2 weeks, he's got a two-week lead time in order to decide whether or not he wants to accept the renewal or not. So we'll see what he does. But how many of you are paying for this type of content? How many are paying for the New York Times information? How many of you paying for Wall Street Journal? How many of you are other paying for premium content? If you are paying for premium content, tell me where you're paying for that and why, and why it makes a difference in either how you podcast, how you get news and information. Where do you get, what is valuable to you today in content that you're reading online, and why would you pay for it? And I know some of you may be subscribing, you know, help donating to some of the podcasters, et cetera. That's all cool. But I want to know on print content, what you're paying for now currently and why you're paying for it. So send me an email to geeknews@gmail.com. You know, I don't mind paying for content long as it's good. But sometimes I get this bad taste in my mouth when I see the Wall Street Journal, who, you know, raises the price $20 in a year for their online content because they know people are shifting to it and they're not reading newspapers anymore. So they're charging more than what the actual print subscription would cost. But regardless, enough on that, but send me your feedback on that. I really do. I'm kind of following this whole evolution in media and what's going on. It covers, you know, tech is the guys that are going first. You know, we're the ones that are leading the way in the way we get our content. So I think, obviously, the print media is following. I'm of the opinion within 2 to 3 years, major newspapers are going to be in major trouble. There's not going to be, you're going to see them dropping like flies. They're already firing journalists. CNN is actually starting to do a citizen journalist type thing, which, you know, we're going to kind of be doing what we are going to be doing over at podcasternews.com. So if you're thinking about doing stuff for CNN, you need to come over to podcasternews.com. That's where the true media revolution is going to be. It's going to be over there. So, man, I can't wait to bring that site to you. I really, really can't. We're so close. We are so close, and I'm beyond excited. And I know that a lot of people are, and the feedback I keep getting is like, we're ready. And I know I'm ready too, but we got to make sure the site's perfect and the podcasters are getting a look. I think it's starting this week they're getting a look. Okay, and change gears here a little bit. Of course, a report is out that legal music downloads are up as CD sales fall. And how, hello, were we really expecting any other headline? Maybe we were going to see illegal music downloads soar as CD sales fall, but that is not the title of this. And this was over at Ars Technica. And the music industry guys are, of course, saying, well, of course, you know, people are buying more online music, and we've turned the curve here, and online CD sales are down. It goes back to that, you know, what we all know, that I don't want to pay for those 15 lousy tracks. I want to just buy the couple singles on there that's good. Of course, I'm a big fan of some of the groups, but, you know, it still doesn't totally entice me to buy the complete albums. I do once in a while, but not as near as often as I used to. Now, with that, you know, obviously they've figured it out. They really have. But the question comes in now, when will the MPAA, will they figure this out? When are they going to have to be slapped in the face enough? Is it going to take millions of people downloading, you know, hacked DVDs for the MPAA to figure it out and then to get pricing down? Who wants to pay $19 for a DVD? For those of us on a budget, $19, my God, you know, that feeds my family for a couple of days. You know, my wife is a good shopper. Do I want to spend $19 on a DVD? No. I can get them at the library. I can sign them out. At least here in Hawaii, we can. And, of course, I got Netflix. I can get unlimited DVDs every month. Of course, it's fast, two at a time, obviously. And I'm using that service now. I really do like it. We got our first DVDs, and we watched both of them. They went back in the mail this morning. So we'll be getting our next two probably at the end of the week. So, cool deal. But we'll see what happens here. And some interesting stats on this article in the amount of sales. They're not hurting for business. They're selling plenty of music, okay? Okay, what do you do when you want to hide from Google? What do you want to do if when you don't want your name found, when you don't want any information about you detected? You know, there's a lot of people out there that are very, very concerned about the amount of information that is available about them on the internet. And case in point, I did a Google search on my mom's name, my dad's name, found all kinds of amazing things that you wouldn't automatically think you would find. And they were even kind of surprised. Now, we're living in the digital age. I'm used to it. You know, you Google my name, you're going to find all kinds of links from here to, you know, 10 years ago. You're going to find a lot of info. Now, there's a lot of people that are hiding, and Wired has a great article up today about people that are basically trying to stay out of Google's gun sites and trying to not be included in their index. And I think it's a tough thing. So we will see how this develops. But how many of you protect yourself from being Googled or being indexed? And what type of things do you do to protect yourself? So why don't you send me comments to the voicemail hotline on that if you have any. 619-342-7365. Now, every once in a while, the internet sales tax thing raises its ugly head and people say, oh, it's going to happen again. We're going to have to, you know, as online commerce, we're going to have to start charging sales tax, et cetera, et cetera. I think it's a ways out. But eWeek has a good article on it. Those of you that are doing online commerce will want to check out what the states are trying to do and trying to force the, well, they're trying to get their hands on some of those tax dollars that are being filtered away via internet sales. Okay, now, of course, I'm kind of biased for Wiley Publishing's books because obviously I've got a book published by them. And I'm even more biased about the Extreme Tech series. But there is an excerpt from the Hacking Gmail book that's forthcoming that is on the Extreme Tech website. I'm going to link this up. So if you're a Gmail user and you want some power tips, they've got one entire chapter that is in the that's on the website and a good read. I learned some stuff going through the two or three pages of information, and I think you will too. A lot of people marveled when Apple released the Mac Mini, but have you heard that there is a PC version coming? And it's going to be sold by AOpen. It's going to be a little smaller than the actual Mini itself in its footprint. And it looks like it's going to sell for an estimated price of $499 for a Windows-based configuration and $399 for one configured around Linux. I wonder if I'll be able to talk the wife into getting one of these. That might be a good little computer for the kids, or obviously for downstairs in the kitchen or something, for the wife to do surfing on the internet and have that real small footprint down there. Of course, the Mac's sitting here on a desk with me, so she uses it sometimes too, but I'm the primary one that uses it here. Okay, it is that time. It is Robin Good's pick of the week. So we've talked about this virtually every week, and he's got some good ones here. The one that I found on the site that I went through and looked at all these links that he recommended, and the one that I like the most, and I think those of you that are bloggers are going to get some use out of, it's called FeedShot, feedshot.com. Check that out. It is basically a repinger. It's kind of like some of the other services that are out there, but some RSS tools, of course, and some blogging stuff. When you all get a chance, go over to Robin's site and send him a thank you note for providing all these great links every week. I have talked to all of you on more than one occasion here in recent weeks about being prepared for a disaster. And, of course, with everything that happened with the two hurricanes down the Gulf States and in Texas, you know, people's lives were totally disrupted and data that they had in their computers was completely destroyed. But there's an article on Slashdot that references a article that talks about condensing your life to a USB flash drive. And I thought this was pretty good. And I have sitting here in front of me a 1 gig flash USB drive. And if you think about these little drives, you can, you know, if you buy a couple of these or have a couple of them laying around, you can stick a lot of data on a stick. And not only can it go with you all the time relatively easily, there's ones that are encrypted where you can buy them so that you can encrypt the information in case you lose it or they get stolen so that, you know, some hacker's not going to own you from day one. But I never thought about putting the critical information on a USB stick. But I think it's a good advice, and I think I'm going to start following it. And, of course, if you have that USB stick in your home, and it doesn't go with you and something happens, you're going to want to make sure that USB stick is in a Ziploc bag so in case your home floods or whatever, and of course, if it burns down, you're kind of hosed, but unless it's in a safe. But good idea, and you guys can check out the reference article off of Slashdot, and I think give you some more ideas on being disaster prepared. Okay, Cassini has returned photos of Hyperion. I hope I pronounced that correctly. But the Cassini-Saturn probe has captured the previously unseen northern polar regions of Saturn's moon, Hyperion, and it looks really weird. It's being touted as something that's never been seen anywhere outside the universe. So we'll have the link up in the show notes. Obviously, you're going to want to go over there and check that out. Okay, now, what do you think happens to hard drives that have been underwater or to computers for a while? I've got some pictures that came from PC World. Talks a little bit about more about the subject we were just talking about, but you ought to see these hard drives. They are thrashed, totally thrashed. You'll see the link up in the show notes. Okay, a Soyuz is docked with the International Space Station, carrying a replacement crew and commercial passenger, and they docked on Monday morning. They're going to be on the International Space Station, I guess, for, I think, 11 days. So that guy that got the trip up there, he's got to experience a trip of a lifetime. And, of course, there's a little concern now because Russia now has fully obligated or fully met all their obligations to NASA in transporting American astronauts to the International Space Station. So what this means is that the astronauts up there may have to hitch a ride home when the next space shuttle launches. They're not going to be able to go home as scheduled, maybe, with the Soyuz, because there's a law in effect that says that the United States cannot pay the Russian Space Agency for those types of services. And it was something political that happened before that caused that law to go in effect. But we'll see what happens as this develops politically, and you know, I'm sure they're going to find a way around it. But and of course, they're saying now the space shuttle is not going to fly until May. All right, we're 39 minutes. I'm going to try to wrap up here in a few minutes with the rest of the commentary I've got today. How many of you got kids or a spouse or somebody that just does not wake up in the morning? They're obvious oversleepers. Have you heard about the ear-splitting sonic grenade for waking oversleepers? This thing looks like a toy grenade, but it's got a pin on it. When they pull it, they throw it in a room. It's got three volume settings, and from what I'm hearing, it is just absolutely excruciating. And what's cool about it is the person that's waking up has to take the grenade to the person that has the key or the pin to put the pin back in before it'll shut off. I think I'm going to be buying one of those. I've got some kids that I'm having a hard time waking up in the morning. Little sonic grenade in the morning. Of course, you know, they're saying you shouldn't wake up that way. That's a good way to lead to a heart attack. Okay, this may be a relatively easy question for all of you that are iTunes iPod users out there. Well, here's the scenario. What happens when you have a regular iPod and, you know, let's say your daughter's using it and has bought a bunch of music via the iTunes store, and she's decided she wants a Nano, and the dad's cool and goes out and buys the daughter a Nano. So she gets a Nano, and the father gets the iPod. Now, the father has got separate logons in the computer where she logs in and actually has her music that's on iTunes, and he has his own login. Now, I told him and you guys correct me if I'm wrong, but I told him she should just take the iPod Nano that she has, put it on the system, make it an owner for her login, and then what it should do is it should sync the information that's on her iTunes directory. Then what he should do is take the iPod, and if he doesn't, obviously he doesn't want her songs, he says he doesn't want to listen to any of the stuff, so he wants to put podcasts on it. I told him just log on your login, then it'll recognize that it's a new owner, it'll ask you whether or not you want to take ownership, and I said you do, and that should clear everything out from her. And I said, use caution there. Make sure she gets everything on the iPod Nano first. Is there a better way to migrate, folks? Or number two, is it legal for him to have all that music on both iPods? Is that legal or not? Does anybody know? Now, this brings up another point. Joe Ito ran into a problem where his wife was downloading music via iTunes, via a Mac Mini. She had filled up the Mini 2 full or something had happened, and the Mini's hard drive had crashed. And I've been hearing a lot about Mac Mini hard drive crashes, which scares me a little bit. But anyway, she did not have the music backed up anywhere. So he tried to use some tools to recover the information. Apparently had some luck, but not complete luck. Is there any recourse? Do you have any recourse if you haven't backed up your files? And what is the correct way to back up your data, especially since there's digital rights management stuff attached to Apple's music? Now, I know there's a few articles on Apple about this, but what are you guys' experience in both of those scenarios, and what do you recommend people to do that have music on that they bought on iTunes so that in case their hard drive crash, you know, what is the recovery process, and what's a way to make sure that you are still going to have access to that music that you bought, and you're not going to lose the licensing that belongs to you, essentially, so that, you know, you don't lose your investment. So if any of you had experience with that or have commentary, I'm sure it's all pretty straightforward, but let's hear your experiences out there, okay? Okay, there's a great article. It talks about measuring the internet in dollars/traffic. And this was a Wall Street Journal article that talks about what's going on in the media world. And it's toting that broadband will reach 42 million U.S. households this year. 73 million homes have cable, so that's a pretty good penetration of broadband. They're saying the internet ad sales rose to $9.6 billion this year, with the U.S. advertising market at $141 billion. And what shocked me the most was the top 10 internet properties raked in about 71% of the ad revenue in the industry. Hey, can I have like a half of a half of 1% or something like that? Okay. Yahoo's revenues last year were $3.6 billion. Google was $3.2 billion. Disney lost $1 billion. MySpace.com, which I don't know what people get out of that site, but if you're a big MySpace user, maybe you can fill me in on that. But that site alone attracted like 17.7 million visitors alone in June. So just goes to show you what's kind of going on out there in the space. And I think all of you should take a look at these stats. Kind of cool to see what's happening within the internet. Okay, software junkies out there, I got this from Nick Bradbury's website. There is a auctions that are going on right now for software packs, and it's a charity event where you can bid on Mac software and Windows software, and it looks like great software. Each disc has $1,100 worth of software, and I'm going to put the link up in the show notes, and you go to eBay, and you basically bid on it. So if any of those software packages look like anything that interests you, go ahead and check it out. The first person that won received, for $265, they won a Mac disc that was worth $1,100. 90% of the money goes back to charity. Check this out. It's at PMC Software Auctions. They're live, and I'm going to be definitely bidding on a couple of those. So you guys watch for my username, okay? Out there, and don't overbid me, all right? If I, you know, go ahead, have fun. All right, folks, that's all I have for tonight. I'm at 45 minutes. Terrific. And as always, I want to thank you for staying subscribed and being a listener here at the Geek News Central podcast. And as always, send your comments to geeknews@gmail.com. You can Skype me at Geek News Central. You can call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. If you're a podcaster and you have a promo, geeknewspromo@gmail.com, geeknewspromo@gmail.com. Attach it or provide a link, whichever, and we'll make sure we get it played here on the podcast. I do have a couple of promos for you tonight, but hey, let us know what you're liking about the show, what you're not digging, what's cool, what isn't. I always appreciate the feedback because it not only makes the show better and makes me step up to the plate when I am slacking. So, as always, thanks for being here, and let's kick these promos up, get you on your next podcast, and of course, a few words after the promos.
The Commoner's View of the World features me, Michael, an ordinary teenager expressing his views in audio format. I speak about issues in the world today and what's on my mind. I'm the proud founder of the Teen Podcasters Network. If you're interested in hearing the teen view, head on over to commonercast.tk. Don't miss out.
Oh, hello there. You're listening to EdTech Musician.
Are you the police?
No, ma'am. We're musicians.
I record a podcast.
EdTech Musician. Just a little podcast.
And now here's Andy and Patsy Moore.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Hi, my name's Andy Seymour.
And I'm Todd Seymour. I sound like him because we're twins.
That's right, we are twins. And on this podcast, we talk about education
and technology.
And don't forget about music. You can get a hold of this podcast by going to www.edtechmusician.libsyn.com/RSS.
You know, that's why Mom always liked you best. You know all the technical stuff.
Well, she should like me best. I don't know why.
Well, you did it. You've purchased your first Mac, and you're anxious to get started in the secure and virus-free environment of OS X. Where do you go to learn about the software, hardware, and websites that will make using your new Mac easy and fun? Look no further than the Mac Review Cast. Surfbits.com, the switcher's website, started the Mac Review Cast to help new Mac users jump into OS X as fast as possible. Every podcast, you'll discover new software to accomplish any task quickly. You'll learn about all the new hardware being released for the Mac, and the Mac Review Cast will look at books and websites that will make your transition to Macs as painless as possible. It doesn't matter if you're an experienced Apple user, a new owner, a switcher, or a PC user just thinking about getting their first Apple computer. I promise this podcast will have something for everyone interested in Macs. Just stop by the podcast website, www.macreviewcast.com. Or the switcher's blog, surf-bits.com, to download and subscribe to the podcast today. You can email Tim with any questions you have at surfbits@gmail.com. OS X is the operating system that has become the choice of computer users around the world for its secure, virus-free, spyware-free, and adware-free environment. Let the Mac Review Cast get you started using and understanding OS X. That's the Mac Review Cast. the fast lane to using your Mac.
For those of you that didn't know, Tim is one of the associate editors on the site. He's always putting up great information about Apple products and services. All right, folks, that's all we got. We'll see you on Friday. Aloha. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.